The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Here it comes again. Lunch. Will it be the same old, same old? Or are you ready to take a vacation from the ordinary with the new Jamaican Jerk Turkey Sub at Firehouse Subs? Freshly sliced smoked turkey breast, craveably sweet mustard sauce, and a hint of Caribbean seasoning. Just $5.55 for a medium. Save time. Order the new Jamaican Jerk Turkey Sub on the Firehouse Subs app. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. Participating locations, limited time only, plus tax. Prices may vary for delivery.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
To Wrestling Omakase. It is episode number 99. I'm here joined again by my best friend, Mr. Brian Quenlan. How you doing, buddy?
Okay, we're not doing audio test?
No, it's fine. It looks good.
Right.
I forgot to do that. That's a good point. But no, what's up? How you doing?
Okay. I'm hot.
So, you're now the people at home might just think you're saying you're attractive.
No, I mean...
It is hot in this room. I didn't put my air conditioner yet. Anyway, how's everybody doing out there in Radio Land? I'm very excited.
I'm very excited
because we only have less than 6 days to go until we head back to Japan for my third trip, your second trip. So that'll be a hoot and a half, huh?
Yeah.
Very exciting. We're going to go to the Best of Super Junior Final. Dominion.
But not the B Block Finals.
Not the B Block Finals. It's too far away.
Okay.
We're also going to go to J Stage, Oz Academy, Gato Move, Dragon Gate, DDT, a whole bunch of stuff. Hard Hit, Tokyo Joshi Pro. I think I'm forgetting something. Maybe I'm not. But all that good stuff. Should be a good time. So what have you been up to, buddy? Either Seedling or Michinoko Pro and decide. That was the other one I was missing.
Huh.
So what have you been up to?
Nothing.
Yeah. You don't have anything else you want to talk about before we get into the... You excited for sushi?
Yeah.
I don't know. What other food do you like in Japan?
Ramen.
Ramen? It's a little hot for ramen, but...
I don't give a shit what temperature it is. Ramen's good.
Okay. So...
only eat ice cream when it's summer?
No, I eat.
Okay, well, there you go.
Okay. But yeah, so that's coming up soon. That's not what we're here to talk about, though, but it's a good thing to mention because there will be no episode next week, like in the normal weekend slot.
You're not bringing this thing?
No. Can I finish?
Okay.
So there won't be an episode next week in the normal weekend slot because our flight is Saturday morning, but there will be an episode probably after the Best of Super Junior Final on Wednesday, Japan time. I think we'll try to get the crew together and record. Maybe Taylor, who's coming. Kelly and Paul from Voices of Wrestling are coming. And then maybe we'll see who else I can find around who might want to join in. So we'll get at least one episode there, and then maybe another one after Dominion 2. So you might get two episodes the following week, but no episode next weekend because I'll be in the air. So we're here to talk about AEW Double or Nothing and the New Japan Best of the Super Juniors. I think we should start AEW since it's the big thing that everybody's talking about. Quentin, what were your overall thoughts on the Double or Nothing as an ice cream truck goes in the background?
That ice cream truck is more distracting to me right now. But in one word, disappointing.
So you didn't like it?
Not really.
See, I was a little bit more into it than you were, and the general feedback on the internet seems to be that it was really, really good. I think it was kind of a mixed bag, but the one thing... Look, if you're looking for a slightly better version of WWE, I think that's sort of what they delivered, right? I mean,
I guess, but only very slightly.
I think they delivered a show that you know, gave you clean finishes, first of all,
yeah,
which has been a major complaint in WWE. They delivered a show where everything, I guess, made sense, although there wasn't really a lot of storylines to begin with, so kind of jury out on that, I guess.
But I've understood what's going on if I watch Being the Elite.
I
thought that show is like pretending like acknowledges everything's fake, so...
Yeah, but there's a different series called Road to Double or Nothing that was more straightforward. I didn't watch that many episodes of either one of them. I watched a few Road 2s. I really haven't watched Being the Elite all year, and I did watch Being the Elite a lot last year.
I've never watched Being the Elite in my life, so...
But I didn't find the show... So, okay. I didn't find the show disappointing, but I also didn't have high expectations going in. Like, I thought, you know...
I guess I did, so that was my problem.
Yeah, I thought it would be a pretty good show, and it pretty much delivered on being a pretty good show. There were a few big flaws that I think that they can definitely improve on going forward.
I think there are a lot
of flaws. Okay, so let's go through it. Starts with the Casino Battle Royal.
This was garbage.
I have to say... I would not start my brand new promotion. I know it's a pre-show, okay? So maybe they're taking one from WWE's book.
When I saw the Battle Royale rules online, I thought this was a joke. Like, it's a Battle Royale. You just have guys throw each other over the top rope. It's very simple. I thought this whole thing was a joke they're making. I found out, no, these are the rules. This screamed TNA to me. Because the rules had, like, took you for, like, this whole page full of shit where they were taking cards out. And I'm like, this is so stupid. Like, well, first of all, don't decks usually have two Joker cards?
Yes.
So that made no sense to me because there was only one. But I just thought these rules are fucking... This is TNA, like, at its... And there was more of that later.
You're very upset about the number of Joker cards.
Well, no, just... I don't care about that. It's just pulling cards, but just have a match where guys throw each other over the top rope, like... Don't do this crap with the... I mean, in the end, you didn't even have to know the rules to understand what was going on. These five guys come in. Now these five guys.
Yeah,
one more guy.
They definitely
They over-detailed it.
Over-explained
we,
it.
Okay, some dipshits, instead of going for picking balls, they pick cards. Great.
Like,
obsessed with this casino, you know, theme on the show.
Yeah.
And apparently they're bringing that back. And also, a lot of these guys... Some of them were good, but some of these guys in the Battle Royale...
Most of them were fucking terrible.
I think they're in the Battle Royale, and the reason why, you know, they're not in WWE is because they suck.
Yeah.
I don't want to name names, but there were some guys fucking shit up and nearly killing people. And they also didn't know that in a Battle Royal, if you're going to do a big spot, make sure it's not happening when another group is doing a big spot. Because there was something where Billy Gunn did something, meanwhile... Who was the other one?
Yeah, they were...
Jungle Boy, and two shit was happening, and the camera had to...
There were a bunch of spots like that. The thing was very boring for a long time.
And then they all started doing everything
at once. And then all of a sudden they all started doing everything at once.
And I didn't know what was happening. The camera couldn't keep up. And you should know. That's basic, like, common sense. Don't do all your shit at the same time. Plan everything out.
So, okay. So some notes here. First of all, Geek Battle Royal, not the way I would start a brand new show.
And if you're going to do a Battle Royal, I need to say this. I, more than anything else on the planet, I hate the finish where a guy thinks he's won. And, oh no, a guy fell out and he was hiding the whole time and he comes up from behind. Now I know he didn't win, but I still hate
it. Yeah, I thought it was a parody of that finish.
But yeah. They still kind of they did it. I remember fucking WrestleMania weekend. They did it at the MSG show. And then they did it twice during WrestleMania. the second time in Mania, the guy didn't win. The two guys just snuck. Okay. I want someone to create a company with a Battle Royale fucking rule. If you get thrown through the ropes, you're not eliminated. But if you don't get back in the ring in, like, I don't know, like 90 seconds, you are out. Yeah. Because that's why doesn't everybody just hide into the ring? Why does only a Battle Royale one person do that? Because you're guaranteed to be the second to last person. You at that point, you have a 50% chance of winning. If you hide under the fucking ring. Like, that is so stupid.
Anytime someone says 50% chance, well, you know what I mean. Scott Steiner promo. Yeah.
I just think that, like, make that rule, all right? If you get thrown through the ropes, you gotta get it back in the ring at a certain time or you're out for good. Because that's such a stupid bullshit finish. And everybody feels like that's how you have to end a battle royal now.
So.
Someone else sneaking in.
All right, let me move back a little bit. Terrible way to start your first show.
Yes.
Also, this fucking...
And I like the battle royale at All In, by the way.
I did too.
It was fun.
Yeah.
I might not have liked it.
Can I get a word in, please?
No.
This fucking Geek Battle Royal was for a one half of the first ever World Championship title match. Luchasaurus could have been facing the winner of Omega Jericho as first world champion. Glacier. I don't know. Who the fuck else is in this thing? Mr. Ash, Billy Gunn.
Or Kip Sopp, or whatever he's called himself. Or what was his name in TNA?
Who gives a fuck?
Kip James, or whatever.
Yeah, so, I mean, look. That's really stupid. There was exactly two people in this match. I guess MGF because they're pushing him
and
hard.
Hangman.
And Hangman.
And the
they were the last two. But then what the fuck is the point? Just do Hangman Page against MJF for the fucking title shot.
And just have a deep battle royale for nothing.
I know this was a last minute thing because of Page.
And why was it?
But because Page...
Was that supposed to be for the champion?
Yeah.
Pac-Man and...
Page and Pac.
Page and Pac.
So, you almost said Pac-Man? But no. Page and Pac, like, look. I get this was a last minute change. Find a better last minute change because it fucking sucked.
Mm-hmm.
And a terrible way to start your show. After that, we had the interview with like Kylie Rae and the two librarians, which that felt like WWE.
That felt really bad. I guess it's supposed to be, but if you're trying, don't try to be like.
Yeah.
If you know it's stupid, then why are you doing it?
There were a few things on the show that felt very WWE like to me. This was definitely one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I will say, for their credit, they did not go backstage at all for the rest of the show.
Yeah.
There were no other backstage promos. If they cut out backstage promos, I would be so fucking happy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why are we going backstage anyway?
Yeah.
It's just fucking stupid. Do your promos in the ring. After that, Kip Sabian and Sammy Guevara. I went 1 3/4. I just thought it was a very boring, slow, and awkward match. Some okay spots at the end, but a bad match otherwise. Really nothing to it.
It was fine. Neither of these guys did anything I didn't even know which one was which, and then I figured it out, but you had to explain I got it wrong.
Yeah.
I thought, if this
was
a match trying to get...
asses.
No, I wasn't looking at their asses. If you're trying to get people to order the show by watching that match, I don't think it would do a very good job. Not the match was bad, it was just there.
Yeah.
It's not something I'm going to remember.
So then Cody gets cut off giving his promo for the show. They were all like giving that promo.
Well,
that was one of many things,
and that was the least of the issues.
And then we got the U.S. National Anthem, which we fast forwarded through because we were on the
way. I didn't know who was singing. So.
And then SCU and Stronghearts. Okay, so I'm going to say right off the bat, this is a very minor nitpick. I don't want anyone getting angry at me for this one. I really hated the original theme songs on the show.
Mm-hmm.
They all sounded so fucking generic. I don't know if they need to get, like... Isn't, like, the... What the fuck's that guy's name? Jim Johnston?
He's not doing anything.
Yeah, hire him! Because WWE got rid of him.
Did they?
Yeah, WWE got rid of him.
But, did they hire him?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, okay. Well, they should.
So they should hire him or just anybody. Because, like, these theme songs... I mean, it really made me, like... it made me appreciate New Japan's in-house theme song people a lot more. Because, like, they sound less generic than this for the most part. But yeah, so nobody could clue in. But it really was obviously Strong Hearts because they have a great like Chinese rap song as their theme song normally, and I guess they couldn't get the rights to it or something, so they lost their Chinese rap song here, which I was annoyed by. But JR
bothered you more than it did me.
JR did not apparently know that this team is not actually from China. He kept saying this team from China.
Well, he's been doing a lot of stuff in China.
He really hasn't been doing that much in China lately. I mean, they are OW is a Chinese promotion, but like, and he called it OEW at one point. But like, he's been doing way more in Japan lately, and they even like split off the OW and Strong Hearts thing a little more. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, look, JR actually was not nearly as bad as I was expecting. Apparently, just not having Josh Barnett there to, like, really get him going on his bullshit was the key, because he was actually a lot better than he was on any of the Live New Japan shows. But I just thought that was funny they kept saying the team from China. This took a long time to get going. I thought it was a decent little spot fest by the end. Again, it went, like, 3.25. Good little match. Good. If this was the real opener, this would have been a lot better than the... Like, remember, the FCU match was the opener on the pre-show last for All In.
Yeah.
I think that worked a lot better as an opener than that fucking Battle Royal. And then Britt Baker, Kylie Rae, and Nyla Rose. So that was a scheduled match. We had our WWE thing number two, where we had that three-way scheduled, and then Brandi Rhodes comes out and says, nope, here's Awesome Kong. Which, okay.
That didn't upset me. I like Awesome Kong.
I like Awesome Kong, but just have her come out and join the match.
Okay.
I'm saying we should not have
Brandi Rhodes become the new Stephanie McMahon.
No de facto authority figures. This is what I was worried about, too, with the Elite people. No authority figures at all, and definitely not the Elite folks as de facto authority figures. It's not good. So I do not want that. But the match itself was pretty good. Some good action.
I think Brandi just wanted to do something on the show other than, you know, get carried away by DDP, which I don't blame her.
I just think we need to get away from authority figures. Okay. We need to get away from authority. Okay, so some good action, a little awkward and disjointed. Kong did almost nothing after the start for a while, but, you know, I get it. And then there was a really cool Tower of Doom spot where, like, Kong came in for the powerbomb while the other two, like, gave Nyla Rose a double superplex. That was cool. I thought it picked up a lot after that spot. I didn't really like it before that.
Yeah.
And then Kylie and Britt Baker had a really good exchange in the ring after the two bigger ladies got taken out. I think Nyla speared Kong into the steps.
Mm-hmm.
And there was the finish was a little botched, but it was still, you know, okay. So 3.25 again. Good little match. I enjoyed this.
It was good, yeah.
Then we got the Best Friends against... I don't know if it's in... So they said Angelico, and they also said Angelico. So I don't know which it is, but... Either way, Best Friends against Angelico and Jack Evans. This was fucking... I am really, like, shocked that people thought this match was good. This match fucking sucked.
I just couldn't get... my eyes off Angelico's fucking outfit.
He looked like
booger green color. Like, I thought it was stupid. Don't wear that again, please.
But so Chuck... So, okay. So the match was nothing for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then Chucky T had to wait, like, 10 years on the top rope for Jack Evans at one point. There's no flow of the match at all. Guys doing moves.
Random
nothing.
Moves. Yeah.
There's no transitions. Nothing in between them. And then Angelico looked like he was barely trained at some points. They whipped him into the corner, and he took the corner like he was fucking drunk.
Mm-hmm.
He was like stumbling, like, oh, duh, duh. Like I've seen fucking Kelly Kelly run into a corner better. So yeah, that was really bad. But I went like 1 star for some spots that were okay, but this was really terrible. And Angelico looks like he's barely trained. Let's get him the fuck out of there. After the match, we had our next WWE light thing, which was the lights going out after both teams hug. So both teams hugged, even though Evans and Angelico playing heel. Lights go out. Super Smash Bros. Show up.
Sure.
You didn't even recognize them.
No, because I haven't seen them in like 10 years.
I sort of recognize them because I saw them on a Ring of Honor show last year.
The last time I saw them was in Chikara in what, like 2011, 2010?
Yeah.
Like, because even before we stopped watching Chikara, they left for a while.
Yeah.
And they did not, well, I and even back then, Plant Dose usually wore masks, so I wouldn't even recognize him anyway.
Yeah.
I know before that he didn't, and then he started wearing a mask, but I liked them when they were in Chikara, but I couldn't never imagine them becoming this dark, evil tag team. They were such a wacky, funny, happy guys. But maybe it'll work. I'm not ready to...
They've been like that for a while now.
They have. I haven't seen them.
But yeah, so I saw them against the Young Bucks, I think, in Toronto last year. So,
The crowd did not know who they were.
The crowd had no clue.
They chanted, "Who are you?"
So lights go out, they show up. Lights go out again, and there's like
random guys.
15 fucking dudes in these masks.
Who were they supposed to be?
They were the minions, apparently.
Uh-huh.
They should just wear the despicable
minions. I thought minions are yellow and talk gibberish.
But yeah, so they all like grab the four of them and lay everybody out. This is like, this is a moment, most of anything on the show where you're like, yeah, pure sports here. Wins and losses. Like, look, I get it. But, like, all that shit about how you're going to be...
If the two of them just laid him out, it would have been fine. But with the minions and shit,
yeah,
that's where I went too far.
That's WWE.
If the lights came out and the two of them laid all four of them out, that'd be fine. But with all these minions or whatever the freak, I'm like, what the hell is
like,
this?
Like, that's
shit?
A WWE thing. That's like fucking Adam Rose in the party train.
Yeah.
It's like, we do not need...
Or No Way Jose in the party train.
Or whatever the fuck.
Not, well, they're the same thing.
Okay.
Don't worry about it.
So, but I just mean, like, I do not need my wrestling acts to have... unidentified fucking...
Guys you never do.
They're so stupid.
Change. They're kind of like... the boys are a tag team right now, right?
Yeah, they're a tag team.
Okay.
So I don't know. I don't need it. So that's not my thing. Mm-hmm. Not into that. And I think it's very WWE. So this is where I like... You know, in my notes I just wrote like pure sports. Because it's obviously what they were teasing, but... okay. So I know we've been pretty negative, but we're going to be positive here because this next match was awesome.
In a way, we will. Yeah.
What do you mean, in a way? I love the next two matches.
No, I did, but
okay.
Things.
Hikaru Shida, Riho, and Ryu Mizunami against Aja Kong, Emi Sakura, and Yuka Sakazaki. First of all, I like Justin Roberts for trying really hard in the Japanese names. He actually, like, tries a lot harder than most other North American ring announcers. Then it was just awesome hearing Yuka Sakazaki's theme song in the middle of Las Vegas. You know, the I'm not going to do it. But it was great. And then... So early on, this match was all Riho, which is great because Riho is fucking awesome. Mm-hmm. And she was like, just, you know, all of her flexible counters and bridging out of pins and all her amazing selling. So that was great. And then Ryu Mizunami came in and was fucking awesome, running wild on everybody. Aja Kong at one point gave Riho the sickest backdrop I think of all time. Looked like she broke her neck. And then the timekeeper. Why don't you talk about this? Because you were fired up about it.
This was the best match on the show so far.
By a mile.
By
10
years.
Miles.
And
yeah, yeah.
Did someone like set them up to do this? Like because they were mad they're having such a... Because first of all, you thought this match was canceled for a while, right? Did we ever find out why people...
So it wasn't on the rundown, and then Rover tweeted it that he heard it
so
was
So why
killed.
Did they think it was?
I don't know. Rover tweeted it.
There's got to be something to that. But anyway... I've seen... This has happened before, where a count was so close, the timekeeper thought it was three and rang the bell. This one was not close.
Yeah.
Well, one, two, kick out. Ding, ding, ding! And I was...
The look on the woman ref, I don't know her name.
They were all...
The look gone. On her... She had a look on her face like, what are you doing? Like, no one can see me. I'm like pantomiming. But she was like so fucking
because
pissed.
She did not yell, that's three. She did not say ring the bell. She counted two, but the bell... Apparently, when they found that timekeeper, knowing how to count to three was not a requirement in the ads, and they don't know the difference between two or three, and just rang the bell. I don't know how that happened. And they played their song, and they're screaming. The crowd's screaming. The ref is screaming. The wrestlers are screaming. The music's still fucking playing. And I'm like, you dumb fucks need to know the match isn't over. Stop playing the music. You just fucking ruined this match. How do you not know the difference between two and three? I don't.
Yeah.
Understand, and that, and I was so mad, and then it just kept going on from there. But we'll get to more.
I still won 4 stars. So Hikaru Shida got the pin. I wish she got to do more. That's my only real nitpick. She was like only in at the very end, but people will see how awesome she is later on. She's the one who's full time, so they just didn't think they needed to, you know, what's the word, like empty the holster with her, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this is awesome.
Yeah, it was great. But then this is where the production problems.
Oh yeah,
start.
Then JR lost
because
track.
Because then we go back to the announcers, who JR looking like a deer in the headlights, just basically says, "I don't know what we're doing next," and they just sit there in silence. And I'm like, "What the fuck is this?" They didn't tell the announcers like they didn't give a match order or anything. And throughout the whole show, JR kept looking down. So I guess someone was below the camera. He never he almost never looked at the camera.
Yeah.
He was so I guess there was something below the camera telling him what to do next. Maybe that person was just like, I don't know. And there was a lot of shit these three didn't know. And
they didn't know the on sale date for all.
They got
out.
That wrong, which is pretty important. And you know, maybe they weren't told. And okay. But then if you're not told, it's your job to find out.
Yeah.
Like
Kevin Kelly.
Because Kevin Kelly, this show made me appreciate how great Kevin Kelly is because We know he isn't told shit because he's the American English commentator.
Yeah.
They don't tell him anything. He has to, so you know what he does? He doesn't just sit there like, I don't know when the next show will be. I don't know what the next... No. He finds out everything himself because he's a professional and that's what he does. So, okay. If you guys weren't told anything, I know that's not your fault, but go find out. You can read. Go look. Like, because you're getting your dates wrong. You're getting what matches next wrong. JR is like, I don't know what's next. And I'm like... Then ask for a format before the show. Don't just say, oh, I'll just sit there and you know, give it a whirl. Like, this is your first show. Don't just wing it. Like, tell them, get me a format, like, or something.
I think, I saw Joe Lanza say it to one of the people. I think the production gaffes were, like, overblown. I can't disagree with that more. I think this, a lot of points here, the production felt very amateur hour.
Because none of this shit happened at All In, if I remember. I mean, yeah. I watched it live, but I never heard anything about production problems that you would see on TV.
I think it actually did happen, if I remember correctly. Okay. Well, I don't know. So maybe we just didn't notice because, like you said, we were there. But yeah, the production here was very rinky-dink.
And it continued with the next match.
So, yeah, okay. So this
I thought it was bad that someone couldn't count to three. But it turns out there's a cameraman who doesn't know the difference between left and right, I guess. Or unless they didn't tell him, so he took a 50-50 shot and looked at the wrong
color. Okay, so let me describe this. So Cody comes out. We see the camera pans over to a shot Triple H is thrown.
I'm going
to
get to that next.
I saw we'll that. Get to that. I saw that, and I'm like, what the fuck? Why is Hunter thrown there? Is he going to sit in it?
Oh, I want to say some stuff about
this. Calm down. So then the camera pans over. They had these two, like, TNA tunnels, right? The entry tunnels.
Which other companies do, and they never
like
have
the,
this
I
problem.
I like the entry tunnels.
Yeah, and it's fine, because no one's ever had this fucking problem before.
So the camera, like, pans, and we look at an empty tunnel for a long time. We're staring at an empty tunnel. All of a sudden, we see Brandi Rhodes all the way in the background to the right walk into the shot, and we're like, wait a second. We're filming the wrong tunnel. And then the camera cuts to the correct tunnel.
So either they told him...
Go left, and he went right.
And he went right, or he didn't know and just didn't ask and took a 50-50 shot and got it wrong.
But look, red or black.
This
you know,
is stupid.
Red or black. He got a 50-50
shot. That was stupid. And it got even dumber when...
So
Cody...
Brandi hands Cody his sledgehammer.
And he destroys...
And he hit... No. He hits the throne with it one slightly, and the throne goes...
It didn't... It exploded like when a volcano goes off in a fourth grader science project. It just went boom! And... Okay. Now, I remember... I don't... What? This is something very WCW-ish from the 90s. Very TNA-ish when they were really... Basically Vince Russo-ish.
But look.
Acknowledging the other company.
Look. I disagree a little on this. This, I think, was hokey. I think having an exploding throne was pretty stupid.
Really fucking stupid.
But taking
Don't
shots...
Don't acknowledge the other company.
No. Taking shots at WWE is okay. Especially when WWE, at the moment, is super uncool, super unpopular, losing viewers at a weekly rate. Like, you're trying to be the cool alternative. If WWE was, like, fucking great right now... Then you would look rinky-dink for doing it. But I don't think it looks bad.
Just
don't do it all the time.
I just remember as a kid seeing commercials for stuff. This is going to be a little weird comparison. I'm going to do it. Like, I'd see commercials for McDonald's and Burger King. McDonald's is always the bigger company.
Yeah.
And in McDonald's commercials, they never acknowledge Burger King. But Burger King's commercials when I was a kid were constantly attacking McDonald's because they know they're the better one.
Okay.
And Coke and Pepsi. Pepsi was always attacking Coke.
I understand.
Coke would never acknowledge Pepsi. Now, I know WWE does take subtle hits at AEW. They've done a couple when they get pissed off, but they're very small. They're very subtle. They don't dedicate a whole show or a whole entrance to the biggest star to destroy an AEW sign.
I think you're going way too far.
I thought this was so stupid.
I thought
don't even acknowledge their existence.
No. I thought it was fine. Look.
Spending money
WWE,
on destroying Triple H.
By the way,
you know... Okay, you want to say this? Okay, Triple H, you know, isn't the problem with WWE right now?
Okay, that's
fucking
your,
Hunter Hearst
that's your opinion.
He's the only thing that might save the company when a certain person.
Well,
retires.
You love NXT, so that's your opinion. But I don't give a shit about NXT,
buddy.
It's better than the main roster. That's not saying much. What I was trying
this
to say.
This was fucking stupid. That's what I'm saying.
I thought it was fine.
Taking
and also, the point of it was also.
Hey guys, remember WWE? They're bigger than us. Don't forget about them.
The point of it was because they never let these two guys do this kind of match in WWE. That's why I think the point of the shot was.
And yeah, Hunter was the reason.
Okay, well, whatever. So what is he supposed to do to destroy for Vince McMahon? A big truck of money?
No, destroy, I don't know. A bag of grapefruits. I don't know.
You're so offended on behalf of Hunter Hearst Helmsley. He'll be okay.
I just thought the whole thing was stupid.
It was pretty dumb, but
you gotta
I don't
acknowledge WWE. Don't do
that. No. I think it's okay to acknowledge them when WWE fucking sucks. Mm-hmm. Like, you're the cool, edgy alternative. You can take some shots. WWE took shots at WCW. They fucking had the Tank Tribe over. But
when they were on below, and when WCW, they were top again, they barely talked about them. That stuff with the Huckster and the Macho Man, that was when they were dying.
No. WCW was bigger. But they did the Tank stuff when they were, like, almost on equal footing.
Yeah, but they still weren't there yet. Once they became bigger, they barely acknowledged their existence.
They took shots of them after that.
They didn't destroy, like, symbols from WCW. Okay.
I think you're being too big.
They make a couple jokes every once in a while. Like, I remember Mick Foley saying, I thought about going to WCW, but I'm not old enough yet, or stuff like that.
Okay. Anyway, so, this match was awesome.
Yeah,
Cody versus
good.
Dustin. They had a great brawl. Brandy got thrown out for interfering too much by Earl Hebner.
I love that spot when the ref throws the guy out.
I like when she spears people because she's got like that bionic shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
Like the whole shoulder's like replaced apparently, so that's why she's able to do it. But yeah, she speared Dustin on the floor. JR did call it a great line. Like, what kind of family is this?
Yeah.
When she speared her own brother-in-law. So that was a great JR line.
Yeah.
And then DDP carried her out. And then Dustin starts... So Dustin goes into the fucking exposed turnbuckle, and he fucking bleeds a gusher.
Yeah, he bled a lot.
I was like, what is with this fucking half-red face paint? It was apparently so the blood could cover his entire face
and
make the entire thing red, which was awesome. You could tell, like, parts of the crowd were very uncomfortable with that level of blood, because it's been a long time since we've had a major American match
with
this much
blood.
So, yeah, Dustin really fucking bled himself a gusher here, which just added this match. I thought this was incredible, honestly. Dustin Rhodes has always been really, really good, whether it's Goldust or Dustin. I mean, any of the bad runs he's had, you know.
The only bad run was in TNA, is Black Reign.
I was thinking of that, too, where, like, he's just so,
and
like...
maybe in WCW when he was just...
No, that he had some good stuff there.
Okay. Yeah.
So, like, I don't know which one you're talking about, but either way...
When he was just the son of Dustin Rhodes.
He was really good in the early days. Good. I mean, I thought, if you're talking about, like, the 99-2000, he still had some good stuff when he was actually on TV. But yeah, you can tell the crowd's like kind of uncomfortable by all the blood. Dustin like just fucking somehow does a sunset flip powerbomb at like 54 while bleeding half to death. That was one of the most incredible moments. Just an incredible match. I love this. I went 4.5 stars on it. My favorite American wrestling match of the year, unless you want to count Naito Ibushi, which technically took place in America.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I thought this was better than anything on WrestleMania. Better than Brian Kofi. Better than anything in WWE all year.
I don't think it was good as anything on TakeOver.
Who gives a fuck?
Like any other.
But yeah, so this was incredible.
It was pretty good, but I only thought it was slightly better than like Triple H Batista, which
was
like,
way
it was a
better
lot of smoke and mirrors. It was good, a really good psychology.
Triple H Batista was 3.5.
It was one of the best matches on this show, definitely.
Yeah, it was the best match on this show. What was better?
The women's match would have been better if it wasn't for the fuck up. With the three count.
The Jersey
and the main event was pretty good.
The main event was not that good. Alright, so Bret Hart comes out to
John
present...
John doesn't like... Hot take. John doesn't like a Kenny Omega match.
Bret Hart comes out... I
that came out of left field for
we'll
me.
We'll talk about it at the end. And first of all, I'm not in the minority on this one.
Okay.
So Bret Hart came out to present the AEW title, which is a cool little, cool little moment.
It didn't look ugly as sin, so I'll take it.
It looked like... So apparently it's based off a Mid-South title, someone told me. I saw it and I was like, that's the IWGP title. Maybe because of the coloring.
It looked like someone like blew their nose on a belt and said, here's your 24/7 championship. Just write 24/7 because our fans are dipshits and they don't know what the belt means unless we have it written on there. So fans are so goddamn stupid. I just want to get that in there. That is the ugliest fucking belt in the history of mankind.
It is really
title.
Ugly. They should have made, like, and apparently USA demanded it or whatever. It was like their idea, and like only the least dumb idea.
Fucking USA Network.
No. So they should have had, like, because it has no side plates, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it should have been like characters welcome on one side plate.
Oh god, they haven't used that thing in a while though.
I'm thinking of like failed slogans.
And what was the other slogan that USA used to have? Another one, characters welcome and. I don't remember. We used to do something else, but
just put characters welcome.
Maybe put characters from like USA TV shows.
For like Psych,
Monk. What else shows I got that was on that channel? You know, even though it's not originally on there, but they show so many reruns. Probably like Law and Order.
Maybe you put like Pacific. What was it? Pacific Blue.
With the bikes and Lefemme Nikita and Silk Stockings or whatever the fuck that show was called.
There's a lot of side belts, side plays.
4400.
All right, enough USA Network shows. So he brings out the belt, which is cool. He brings out Paige, who won the battle, the terrible battle royal. But then MJF interrupts, and God, what I did not need with at this point of the show. We were watching 2 hours behind, so it was like midnight at this point for us, and like. I did not even end this fucking MJF.
I know a lot of people that really like him. And
I don't understand
because
it.
Because of his talking, but he's... Sometimes he gets, like, go away heat at me. I want to turn the TV off.
I can't stand him.
You don't make me want to pay to boo you. You make me want to pay to, like, not see you. Because, I don't know.
So, an endless fucking MJF promo when I just want to watch the last two matches. Jungle Boy comes out and does nothing. Like, what was the point of that? I have no idea. Jimmy Havoc comes after that, and the two of them do chase off MJF. And then Brett shows us the belt. The camera didn't really see it at first, which is kind of stupid. There you go. Then the Young Bucks and Lucha Brothers. I really don't want to bother with this one because, like, this one especially, I feel like I'm just, like, pissing in people's cornflakes. If you love this match, you know, if you thought this was, like, the greatest thing you've ever seen, I totally understand. If you're into this stuff, that's totally cool, man. I don't really want to say anything. It's fine. I mean, look, I'm sure it was amazing if you love this stuff. To me, it's like...
Young Bucks need to know there's a certain time when the match needs to end.
Yeah, well, they
just
do...
Just take it home.
Like, that's a big problem. I mean, right?
They take it on... There's so many times in Young Bucks matches where I think that has to be the finish, and then there's a kick out.
So
and
they've
reached their peak, and now the crowd is like, oh...
Yeah, the
and
crowd.
They start to die. They don't go silent, but they're not nearly as loud as they were.
I mean, we didn't.
And the match goes on for like 10 more minutes.
Yeah, we didn't mention that. This yet. The crowd was amazing all night. Really, really loud crowd.
Yeah,
that was
one
of the bigger differences between WWE and this show.
They're not trying to hijack the show.
They're not trying to hijack.
They're not throwing the wave. They're not throwing beach balls. They're interested in the show.
It was
an
amazing crowd. But the crowd here, they did finally lose some steam in these last two matches. And this one especially, like they were super, super into it. Peak. They hit the peak. They just kicked out of something.
Went on like 12
and then down, like downhill after that. Like there was a moment where the crowd was really, really into it, and then they lost it, and the crowd was like a lot less into it.
So when the match ends to that point, you're not like, oh man, that was great. You're like, oh, it's finally over.
Yeah.
Like you can't. Go
now
on.
Some people love this shit anyway, so whatever. I slapped the big 3 stars on it and moved on with my life. So the Bucks won the Monster Driver. Jericho and Omega. Okay.
There is one problem I have with this match.
Okay, let me
the
go.
Finish.
Let me go. Yes, the finish was really terrible. So we start out with a Jericho character montage. We see first Lionheart Jericho. Then we saw the list, which is weird. Like, why did you see the list before the glowing jacket?
Yeah,
the glowing jacket came first.
Yeah, I was like, we're going out of order here.
Yeah,
they never showed like serious Chris, the best run of his career when he wore the suit and he was like a cold blooded killer.
Yeah,
and he was like sociopath Chris Jericho. I don't know how they would have displayed that. I guess a guy in a suit. And there's got to be one gimmick we're missing, right?
Well, they didn't really show, like, 99 Y2J.
Yeah, they didn't show Y2J.
Yeah.
They didn't. I thought they could have easily done a countdown or something. But I was like, okay, if you're going to go with it all the way, I think. But sure.
I liked Kenny's new theme. It was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Wasn't as good as New Japan one.
No,
but
not nearly.
It was probably the best of the new themes on the show.
Mm. He did some cosplay.
He had a cosplay as a Sora Online jacket, which that is the most Kenny Omega.
Animes, but sure.
That is the most Kenny Omega thing of all time. A Sword Art Online jacket. Here's my thing. I thought this was, you know, both kind of boring throughout, but I liked it. I was actually liking it better than the Tokyo Dome match they had for a while, because I thought that match was super overrated.
I love that match.
You know, Omega got Hardway nose blood, which helped. You know, felt like a brawl. You know, we got some high spots involving Jericho pulling out a table, which is like a callback to the Dome. And then Omega ended up taking the back by a drop from inside the ring through the table. He took like a Naito, the same exact bump I think Naito took for the triangle drop kick on the apron, where he just like dropped right on his neck. And then I thought the fight over the superflex spots went a little bit too long. And parts of it early on were very boring, especially like the chopping, like when they were just chopping each other very boringly. But late in the match, I mean, it fucking fell apart down the stretch. First of all, Kenny jumps right into a code breaker. He does like one of my least favorite wrestling tropes, where he's on the top rope, Jericho is waiting, and Kenny jumps into the code breaker, but he does so in such a way that there's nothing, like there's no move he could have been going for.
Yeah.
He did not go for crossbody. He did not really go for like a flying axe handle or a drop kick. All he did was jump into the code breaker. I'm like, what were you even attempting? That may be a little more nitpick. But then they had one of the worst botches I've seen all year, where Kenny got Jericho up in from Wind Angel position, and it was supposed to go into a DDT, and they just kind of both fell down.
Yeah.
Like, really, really terrible botch. At this point, the crowd's completely dead. And then, yes, they repeated the fucking spot. That is one of my biggest pet peeves. Just fucking move on with your lives.
Yeah.
Why would you do the exact same?
Yeah.
Like, Kenny's like, okay, well, now we got to put you back up in the one-winged angel so you can do the same exact DDT counter. If this is real, why the fuck would they do that?
Yeah.
I mean, just it's like, well, we're just going to repeat the time that
that's
just happened.
Stupid.
Fucking terrible. So, yeah, that completely collapsed it. And then the end. I mean, look, Jericho was teasing a new move, so fine. But the finish was him hitting, doing a little pose, kind of thrusting himself forward and hitting a back elbow, and then the ref goes 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, it's like, that's your finish?
It was a fucking back elbow.
Okay, is he using that just in AEW?
No, I'm probably using New Japan,
okay,
too.
Because that's a problem, because New Japan does a thing where we don't usually kick out finishers. What we do is trade going for finishers and get out of it. So no one is kicking out of any finishers. It happens.
Yeah.
But usually it's people keep going for them and they keep countering. It's how are you going to do that with an elbow? I guess Okada can duck it.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard. I mean, maybe they'll find a way. But I just think that's a dumb finish because it comes out of nowhere. I always hated when Big Show did his stupid punch, and I prefer the choke slam. And
why is an elbow a finisher? It's just a back elbow. We do back elbows in like every single match. The same thing as Big Show at the punch.
This one's special, though.
Why is it punch? Like, why is this?
It's punching a finisher when it's supposed to be illegal. Anyway,
yeah, look, I know that it's wrestling. And you have to suspend your disbelief. Okay,
yeah.
I understand, but it just looks fucking stupid.
I used to think the same thing about the people's elbow. Why is that different than any other elbow other than it's giving you more time to rest? And he pinned people with it all the time.
Yeah.
And I remember the one time Undertaker sat up and then he kicked them and elbowed him again. I'm guessing Undertaker was backstage like, this is fucking stupid. I'm going to sit up and you're going to kick me down. Why would I just keep laying there for like 20 minutes and then let you hit me? But anyway, I don't understand why this is different than any other elbow, but sure. Like, there are moves similar that I think work better. Like, I love Eddie Kingston's back fist, but she doesn't use anymore.
Well, the back fist, at least you're
feature
like...
Feature, there's setup, and he swings around, and it's just...
This is
just
a back elbow. Like, he did
a
little pose.
It takes, like, 2 seconds, and I don't know.
I don't know.
It just comes like, after all that shit, elbow, win! And I'm like, okay.
I thought it sucked.
And he's teasing a big move, and it's something literally anyone can do.
Yeah, I thought the finish...
I can do that.
Like, I thought the finish
sucked.
Elbow,
but...
I was really not a fan of it all. So, that to me dragged it down to 3.25.
Sure.
So, it was an okay match. It wasn't terrible. I liked a lot of it. I mean, up until... It just really fucking fell apart down the stretch.
And then we had an angle to end the show.
Yeah. And then Dean Ambrose debuted as John
Moxley.
Yes. He destroyed Kenny. Gave him a double arm... Giving him a double arm DDT and the big poker chip. That was cool.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I said Dean Ambrose, actually.
I was surprised, too.
He kept
yelling at me when I called him Dean Ambrose last night. But
big WWE fanboy here, I guess.
Yeah, and the main event of the next show is Hangman Page and Jericho.
That's All Out. Yeah.
All Out is what they're going to call it?
Yeah, they're calling it All Out. Because they own the rights to All Out.
Sure. Okay.
So it looks like the next pay-per-view is All Out, which is the end of August, Labor Day weekend again. In the meantime, there's going to be two shows... Fighter Fest. It'd be like $10 or something, but we'll see. But I assume All Out is going to be $50 again. So, are you going to order that?
Well, here's the thing.
It's a lot of money.
One problem I have with the show is I don't mind if it's every once in a while paying the money. It's just, it was on a Saturday night. And usually Saturdays, I'm busy. I don't get home till late. I'm out. I'm doing something. It's Saturday.
Yeah.
Sunday, I'm home most of the day because I have work tomorrow. So I'm home to watch the show. But Saturday night, I have to, like, you know, by the time while we were watching the show,
games.
It was like midnight.
Very important to play card games.
It was like midnight, and I was like exhausted, and I kept falling asleep during the show. Usually, with takeovers, I just watch it the next day, usually. I watch a little bit, and if I start to fall asleep, I just pause it and finish it the next morning. But I wish they wouldn't do Saturday nights. I know that was it's a WWE thing for Sunday nights, and that's probably why they're not doing it, but.
Yeah, I don't really care, honestly. So, as far as AEW goes, overall, I think I was a little more negative than I meant to sound, maybe. There's a lot of stuff in this show I liked. Cody Dustin, thought it was awesome. Joshi Sixman, thought it was awesome. There's a bunch of other solid matches. The thing that I really didn't like about it was the overall, like, WWE light feel. Like, I feel like all the talk about how we're going to be serious wins and losses and it's going to be different, it felt like a slightly better WWE, you know? Mm-hmm. Maybe not even slightly. Maybe quite a bit better. That's all I want. Mm-hmm. So I'm not even saying that necessarily means it's going to be a failure or anything. I'm sure that's going to satisfy a lot of people. It's just not necessarily what I want. So, I mean, I would have liked to see them go in a more serious direction and maybe more of like a... I don't know. I had it in my head that they were going to be like more of a faux New Japan or something. You know, like a New Japan comes to the U.S. kind of thing because of where these people just were. But it's clear, like, Cody wants to be Mid-South. The Bucks want to be, like, fucking PWG with all the wackiness. And who the fuck knows what Kenny wants? I mean, who can get in that guy's head? So they are going to be what they're going to be, apparently. But yeah, so I mean, it wasn't the worst show. I mean, it wasn't bad. I just think a lot of the people saying it's like the best show ever, that or the best show of the year so far by far and all that stuff, I don't really get that because there was enough on the show that I thought was outright bad, especially if you put the pre-show in. Mm-hmm. If you don't involve the pre-show, then I guess there's just the one match that was really bad, the best friends tag. But it's just like the production gaffes were annoying and like the WWE light feel was annoying. I don't know. It just mm-hmm. and the main event, if they had like a really blow-away main event, I would have been like, yeah, this is a fucking great show. You know, they really fucking turned it around after the terrible pre-show. But the main event falling kind of flat didn't really help things either, so there you go. What are your final thoughts? Anything else?
Pretty much I agree with what you said. Yeah.
Now you're gonna watch
be
them.
Less than WWE.
Are you gonna watch them?
In fall?
No, you're gonna watch like these two shows that may or may not cost money?
I don't know, maybe. I haven't decided yet.
Okay. So, the juniors. So we had four shows this week, and they were all like 10-match shows. So I'm not going to go match by match by match. No. I'm just going to point out some of the bigger stuff that I thought was interesting.
Rocky and Phantasma.
Okay, we're still going to go date by date.
Fucking awesome.
We're still going to go date by date.
That's the only thing that matters.
Day 7. Bandito and Red Narita had an amazing, like, fucking sprint match.
Yeah.
I went 4 stars on that. Narita's that was fucking really awesome. Yeah, Red Narita is awesome. He did like an apron belly to belly, and then Bandito like caught Narita off a dive, like powerbombed on the apron. This is like my favorite sprint in the tournament. It was awesome. Mm. You know, the main matches, I went 3 3/4 on Eagles Taguchi. I thought Robbie Eagles had another great match here. Shingo and Marty Scurll. I was very tough on Marty early on. I thought he had a really bad first week, but he really like pulled out of the fire this week. And had a bunch of really good matches here. I went 3 3/4 on this one, too. I thought Marty, once he actually started embracing the villain stuff again, he was a lot better. So, you know, this is the match where, like, Shingo is just beating the shit out of him. And then, you know, Brody starts tripping Shingo up on the outside. And Marty finally leans into being the villain and, like, cheating and all that. But he still couldn't win anyway because Shingo just laid out Brody. And Shingo's quest to be undefeated is just fucking awesome.
Yeah, Shingo's one of the highlights of this tournament.
So that was the best Marty match I can remember in a while. I wrote down here. So 3 3/4 on that. And the main event, Ospreay and El Phantasmo. I went 4 stars on it. It was better than I thought it was going to be. This is where Phantasmo turned a little bit of a corner with me. Not where I think he's great or anything. I still think he has some really big, obvious flaws. The biggest one being like he's so boring when he's in control. Like, his control periods are really, really boring. But, like, as far as his selling and, like, able to have hot stretch runs, he was a lot better here. But, yeah, they had a big brawl in the stands. You know, ELP did the moonsault off the fan entryway.
Yeah, it match was really good, I thought.
It got boring for a long time after that, but then,
like... It was Phantasmo's best match of the tournament so far up to this point.
Yeah, by far, actually. Yeah. But then around, like, the 20-minute mark, they started doing very physical striking. I had that double unhook pile driver. But yeah, I thought this was really good by the end. Really good main event. The other thing too about these Korakins, the crowd was like insane on all three shows. And like that's obviously we just talked about how great the crowd was at AEW. I mean, those crowds, just having a crowd that's actively engaged in the show and just so into everything, it just makes the wrestling show so much better. So I thought that was awesome. Obviously, it was great to have, especially the first week of the Best of Super Junior, the crowd really wasn't that into anything. you know, the crowds in Yamagata and all these other tiny Japanese cities.
Yeah.
You know, they really weren't that into anything. Whereas here, you know, just being in Korakuen and just hearing the crowd go crazy for everything, it was just awesome. So night two at Korakuen, day eight overall. Not a ton standing out early, so let's go to... Oh, okay, Osprey and Bandido. This is awesome. I went 4.25 on this. Just a crazy flippy spot fest. And this is Osprey's best week of the tournament for me. I thought his first week again was a little overrated, but I thought he was awesome here. You know, just the only like things I would take it down a notch a little bit to 4.25 was the it felt like the end like petered out kind of weirdly, and where he like caught Bandido diving into the Stormbreaker, I thought that was a little too convoluted, but still 4.25. Then Shingo and Dragon Lee. This was fucking awesome.
Yeah, this was great.
This is 4.5. I mean, Dragon Lee, like, goes nuts on Shingo in the corner early on. They got very physical. Like, Dragon Lee, he's a guy that, like, you know, some of the Lucha guys aren't, like, super physical when they come to Japan. Dragon Lee is like, I will I will hit you as hard as you hit me, motherfucker. And there was, like, this crazy lariat by Dragon Lee, followed by, like, he did this gigantic dive to the floor, which he somehow mostly got off despite tripping on the bottom rope. Mm. And he still had enough momentum to, like, go all the way into Shingo and make it look great. That was pretty amazing.
Dragon Lee's so over with the crowds in Japan, too.
Yeah, they love him.
They love him.
Yeah.
Him showing you, I think.
And then there was, like, these crazy flash pin reversals, and then he had a big running knee strike. And then there was, like, this insane finishing stretch where he just... Where Shingo just absorbs... This is what he's been doing all tournament, which is great. He just absorbs, like, a million big moves. Like, you hit him with move after move after move, and just, like, I'm Shingo Takagi. And he just pops up and hits the Last of the Dragon for the pin. I mean, he's playing the monster in these junior matches, like, perfect. It's like, he doesn't undersell it. Like, he sells like he's getting hit by these moves. But then he just pops up, and he's like, well, too bad.
Yeah.
It's really... It doesn't feel fake. It doesn't feel like he's not selling... But it just feels like he's unbeatable, which, you know,
he
is what
like.
You should feel like he's unbeatable. And then the last Korakuen Hall show, let's see here, the Night 9, the third one at Korakuen. This is where the crowd actually started to peter out a little bit, especially towards the end of the show. But they still got into, you know, most of the stuff they had to get into. Red Narita again, he had an awesome match with Will Ospreay, 3.75. There was this awesome, like, backslide counter off the Stormbreaker. Where it looked like he actually could pin Will Ospreay. That was awesome. And then he had, like, a big comeback. And remember when he blocked Will into the clover leaf?
Yeah.
And Corkum was going crazy?
This match was great, yeah.
Yeah.
And the crowd was losing it, yeah.
Doki and Robbie Eagles I liked, 3.5. So, and this is where Doki came out looking like he was sub-zero. He debuted that black and blue outfit. Doki, he got a lot more hate in week one than week two, I feel like. I think even some of the people who were, like, down on him were turning the corner on him in the week two. You're making a face, so...
He's all right.
I'm just telling you on Twitter and, like, people I've read, people have said a lot less mean things about Doki this
I
week.
I would prefer Desperado.
Okay. Oh, obviously.
Yeah.
But he's still... Doki's a more than adequate replacement. I mean, he looked, like, good this week.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, like, he got more and more comfortable. But, yeah, then the main... Dragon Lee and Teton.
I thought the intro was great, too.
Yeah.
I love putting when they put the mask on Red Shoes.
Oh, yeah, that was great.
And he wore it for a while, and then I was like, he's not going to wear it. And he's like, I just can't breathe in it, so I'm going to take it off. Sorry, guys.
But, yeah, it started out, like, super flippy, but then, again, gets, like, really physical.
Physical,
like,
yeah.
They start really hitting each other very hard. They're just beating the shit out of each other. And, like, it did suddenly, like, stop and slow down for a while, but they just couldn't keep up that pace, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But it picked up again with, like, a fight in the corner. And, yeah, but even though it was a little slow in spots, I still really liked it. So,
yeah.
4 stars.
And then main event.
Phantasmo and Rocky. Why?
Fucking awesome.
You can talk about it, because I think you liked it even more than
I just
did.
Loved it. It's the longest match in the tournament. Well, actually, today's match with Eagles and Ospreay was really long, too. So,
mm-hmm.
It's one of those two. But there were times I thought I might go to a draw. The crowd fucking loved Rocky Romero. They painted such a great underdog story going into this. Phantasmo had not gotten a loss yet. Rocky only had one win over a young boy.
Yeah, he beat Narita.
And they're going in, and I was like, are they really going to go, like, 20 minutes? Rocky hasn't had a match that long in a long time, like a singles match.
Yeah.
And it was great. And, you know, he was just awesome. I love Rocky Romero. And then I kept thinking, if this was WWE, Phantasmo probably would have won. And they would have told the crowd, hey, fuck you. Go home sad now. But instead, Rocky won, and the crowd was happy. I know it's strange. And you know what happens when you send a crowd happy? They want to come back.
Yeah. WWE hasn't learned that yet, but, you know, that's what you usually do to get the crowd to come back, make them happy. But when Rocky won, the crowd exploded. I jumped up out of my chair. I was running around. I was so happy because they made me think so many times Rocky might lose, you know, and freaking showing Yo. I kept thinking it'd be great if showing Yo ran out, even though all he did was just get two more points, and then he did, and they were still, like, he won, like, the world title or something. I thought it was great. Rocky was so happy. He was, like, practically crying, and his first main event, singles main event at Kirkin, and he wins, and he was, this was, like, one of the, this was so awesome, and I just thought that was such a great story, and they delivered it. They made you a match that you probably shouldn't care about in the Best of the Super Juniors. They made you care about.
Yeah,
by telling a great story.
So I totally agree. I went 4 stars.
Uh-huh.
I thought it was awesome. The only stuff the early on was like really really boring, and this is what I was talking about. The ELP, his control periods are not good at all. They're just so fucking boring. There's like just lots of chopping and standing around doing nothing. But then everything after Rocky hit his big dive and EOP begged off, everything after that was really good.
Mm-hmm.
We hit the 25-minute mark, and then we get the ref bump. You get the visual submission off the cross arm breaker, which I thought was good because...
That's what I thought. Oh, no.
Yeah, it made you think he's not actually going to win. And then we get the low blow for the 2 count, which
and
again...
And Rocky won with the submission.
Yeah.
He didn't win with a low blow or a roll up. He got a win. You know,
so Rocky kicks out of the top rope splash, which the EOP got a pin with earlier in the tournament, I think. And the ref gets bumped again. And then Rocky did the pretend belt shot, which is funny.
He did the Eddie Guerrero thing.
And then when he's arguing, he rolled him up when he's arguing with Uno about it, which was good. But then he finally gets the cross arm breaker. Those last few minutes were just so incredible that elevated up to 4 stars for me.
On the edge of my seat.
So yeah. I thought it was really, I did think it was really good too, ultimately. But, you know, Phantasmo, he's been a little bit better than I thought. But he's, you know, he's still got some things he needs to work on for me. Okay. Night 10, the night we watched today.
It's not the final night, buddy.
What?
It's not the final night.
Well, the final night of the four, of the full block shows.
Okay.
Because after this, we go back to split blocks A and B for the last 4 nights before the final.
It will be.
So, BOSJ night 10. This crowd in Chiba in Makuhari Messe, where, interestingly enough, I once saw the people who do the opener of this podcast. Uh-huh. The band. I don't know why I
Sakano
can't.
Sakano Action.
Sakana Action, yes.
Whatever.
I saw them do the... I saw them play that song, actually. The opener to this
did they start
podcast.
The song by saying, one day some guy will use this on a podcast for wrestling?
Was I doing it? No, I wasn't doing it yet.
No,
it's like
you
an
didn't.
Hour...
You weren't in... Are first you... time you went to Japan, you hadn't started the podcast.
Yeah, the first time. But yeah, so I saw them play that in this building, in the Makuhari Messe. It was also the place where they first revealed the Nintendo 64. That's and the great. Virtual Boy.
Oh, wow. I'm sure the city's got that on their sign. Birthplace of the Virtual Boy. Come visit us.
So, yeah, Night 10 in Chiba. The only thing on this show I thought was, like, I mean, the early matches, a lot of 3-star specials. Mm-hmm. Phantasmo Neil was bad. And this is where ELP, I guess, the juice ran out for him on the run he was on. I thought this was 2 stars.
It was that bad.
2 stars. I mean, I thought it was pretty bad.
Eagles and Ospreay was probably the best match.
It was yet another really boring early Phantasmal control period where he chopped and not much happened. I thought it was a really dumb finish. Where ELP is like arguing with the ref with the belt. Mm. He won't let go of the belt. I'm like, buddy, you can't hit the guy with it now. You'll be DQ'd. So just let go of the belt. And then he drops it. And like, you know, sells like he can't fucking move.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, Yo rolls him up from behind, but not in a way that, like, he was right behind him, you know?
Mm.
So he just kind of, like, does the O'Connor roll in a really weird way. Didn't work for me at all. But, yeah, that was not good. So 2 stars. But then Ospreay Eagles. This was fucking awesome.
It started out slow, like you've been saying.
Yeah.
But it picked up.
No, it started out hot. Okay. He did all that crazy like, dives and shit. Mm. It got a little bit slow for a little bit when he was working on a leg.
There was definitely some slow stuff.
But yeah, I mean, look, I went 4.25. I thought this was awesome. So Ospreay, my only little tiny complaints would be like Ospreay kicked a little bit too much with a bum leg for my taste. But he sold it really well otherwise. You know, Eagles used a Shuriken on the apron, which was a super sick spot. And then he did like a He did basically like a fucking 450 into the Dragon Rana. You know, like from
That's
the springboard
cool.
position.
Yeah.
That was amazing. And then Phantasmo came out, which, you know, you noticed at one point the commentators paid attention to it. And then Ospreay tried to do that spot where he lands on his feet off the Rana. And he, like, his leg collapsed out. That was really cool. And then Eagles immediately comes flying out of nowhere with the springboard dropkick on the leg, which was a great moment. And then, like, he gives the bad leg... He basically grabs the bad leg off of an attempted bull super kick and turns it into the turbo backpack. That was another great spot. Mm-hmm. And then here, Phantasmo tried to interfere. He tried to get up on the apron when Will was on the top rope. Will kind of managed to knock him away. Then the ref got bumped, and Phantasmo hit Ospreay in the leg with a chair. And this is where Robbie Eagles did some great acting, where he looked legitimately conflicted and, like, legitimately upset by having Phantasmo interfere in his match. And the announcers, the English announcers, did a great job, too, because they pointed out, you know, yeah, Phantasmo can say he's doing it for his brother and all that, but really this makes a three-way tie at the top of the block. And he knows he has a tiebreaker on Will and on Eagles because he beat them both.
Hmm.
So it really is to Phantasmo's benefit. But anyway, so the ref gets bumped, he hits him with the chair. Eagles looks like upset about it, but he still hits the 450 on the leg and locks in the Ron Miller special, the inverted figure four, for a submission. This was fucking awesome. Four and a quarter, I said. I was thinking 4.5, but I went 4.25. And then the Eagles did a great job, like, just looking really conflicted and upset afterwards. They're really teasing that babyface turn with him.
Yeah.
I think it'll be really cool if they go through with it. So, yeah. That's where we are here. Now, when I give the standings, what I want you to do, give me your letter grade on everybody so far.
Okay.
So let's start at the bottom of Block A. Taka Michinoku, 0-7.
D-.
You really hate him that much?
I don't know. It's pointless.
I'm going to say C-. I think I was expecting a little bit better. I really do like his technical wrestling stuff when he goes in there, but he really didn't do much.
No.
Kenemaru, 2-5.
C-.
Okay, he gets a B. Okay. I mean, he's had some really good stuff, like with Shingo.
He's had some really good stuff and some real shit.
So. Okay, I don't think that should be C-.
His match with Shingo was really good.
And some other good stuff, too.
Shingo with that.
Teton, 2-5.
He's young. He's been messing some stuff up, but I B-.
I was gonna say B-. I think he's been pretty good, especially the last few matches. I think he's been a lot better.
He's had some really good ones lately.
Tiger Mask, 2-5.
I go with I forget which one. There was one match he had that was really boring to me. I don't remember which one, but other than that, he's been pretty solid. So I'll go B.
I say B-.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he's been pretty good, but not quite as good as the last couple of years, but pretty good. So Marty Scurll, who's 4-3.
I don't know. D-. Again.
Oh, I forgot about Show. Show, 3-4.
A.
I would say
his last couple matches have been a little disappointing.
Yeah,
but
B+.
He had the best match of the tournament so far with Shingo.
I'd say B.
I'll give him an A.
B+. I think he's been good. I think he's been really good, but
sure.
Not quite A level. Marty Scurll, 4-3.
D-, probably.
Okay, I think you're way too hard on Marty. Because his first week was really bad, and I usually not like Marty Scurll. I'm going C+.
Okay.
His first week was really bad, especially the worst match of the tournament against Ishimori. But the last week, he's been pretty good. He's been like a 3.5 star machine, 3-3, even 1.75. So, Jonathan Gresham, 4-3.
I go B+.
That was B+ for me too. I think he's been good. I don't think he's had the time to have like a really epic match, but I think he's been really good when he's in there. Dragon Lee, 5-2.
A-.
I agree with A-. I think he's been really good. Maybe a couple matches that could have been better, like the Ishimori one, but I think he's been really good. Ishimori, 5-2. I'm giving it
some of his
incomplete, because I think he got injured in that Marty Scurll match.
If I
had to give him a grade, I would say, like, D+.
Really?
I think he's been pretty bad.
I think B+, but only because I think he's been okay, but I know he could do so much better.
Yeah, I mean, I think he had the worst match of the tournament, Marty Scurll.
And why did you hate that match?
That match was really terrible.
It was really bad, but I don't think it was his match.
But I don't know. And, like, look, I think he's been hurt since then. He just hasn't been very good. That's why I was going to say incomplete at first. Mm-hmm. Shingo, 7-0, A+.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been awesome in every single match. And, like, the quest of him to go undefeated is the best thing by far. All right, B+. Narita, 0-7. Narita gets an A+.
He gets an A.
He gets an A+. How could you do any better?
Yeah.
Everything he's in has been fucking great, and he's a young fucking lion.
Okay.
Like, this Red Narita is awesome. Doki, 1-6. Doki gets a B.
D+ for me.
Okay, Doki's been great, and I think for what he is...
Maybe C-. I don't know.
Doki's been good.
He just reminds me, you know, Desperado's better than you, buddy.
Well, it's not his fault.
Yeah, but it is.
Okay, so Doki gets a B.
Sure.
Rocky Romero, 3-4. Rocky gets an A. Yeah,
yeah,
he's been really good. Especially, after that Phantasmo match. Bandido 3 and 4. Bandido gets a B minus. I think his first week was not very good. Mm. His second week though, he's really turned it around, had some really good matches.
I'd say B minus too.
Yeah. Yo 4 and 3.
I give him an A. I think Yo's been great.
A minus. I think there's a couple of matches where I would like to see a little bit better. Maybe even B plus, but I think he's been good. Bushi 4 and 3.
I give him an A as well.
Okay,
I thought the story he got where after he went 0-3 he just fucking lost it and Doki was his unfortunate victim and fucking destroyed him and like was just like being really aggressive. He's like, I'm tired of fucking going 0-3 in these tournaments, god damn it. Starting out, I think, and cutting the promos backstage basically saying the same thing. Every year I go fucking 0-3 to start, fuck this shit, and I hate this, why does this always happen to me? Why do I always do it? I just think he's great.
I think
his promos have been awesome. I think his like how he changed after going 0-3, the way he wrestled, I just think he's been great.
I got B.
I know a lot of people don't like him as much.
I like Bushi.
Everyone thinks it's the one LIJ member they don't like, but I love Bushi.
So I'm giving him a B. Robbie Eagles, 5 and 2. He gets an A from me.
Give him a C, probably.
Okay, I think Eagles has been awesome. By far the better of the two new Bullet Club people, but Taguchi, 5 and 2. Taguchi gets an A-. Yeah, he's been really good. Will Ospreay 5 and 2.
A.
Ospreay gets an A from me too. Ospreay gets an A from me.
A plus for him.
I didn't like his first week stuff as much as some people, but his stuff this week has been so great.
Okay.
Can I talk? I'm giving the guy an A. This is what I hate with you people.
You rooted you against people. Him against fucking Jeff Cobb in MSG. You don't get to talk about him anymore.
I gave him an A. ELP, El Fantasma, 5 and 2. He's a hard one for me because I think he's been.
I give him like a C because he's had some great matches and some shit. So
I'm gonna say C plus.
Yeah.
I mean that Rocky match gets
some, awesome.
Yeah.
His match with Ospreay was great. Yeah. But he's doing a lot of the shit that you know Cody used to do and Jay White does with stalling. Not as much as those two. Not as much as Jay White, who's the fucking king of the stall tactic. When you can't wrestle, just stall, and you don't have to wrestle. But like they gotta realize there's other ways to be heels other than just stalling and cheating. But yeah, he's whatever.
Okay, so
is that everybody?
Yeah, that's everybody.
Okay.
Overall, really good tournament though.
Yeah,
especially really this good. Week. Like this week took it from being a middling tournament in week one to like a really good tournament week two.
And I just
like, those Corkin shows were awesome.
When it comes to the two guys that didn't make it, one would have made this tournament a lot better. One probably would have made it worse. So I'd much rather. Did they say so? Doki replaced Desperado.
Yeah.
And
Naruto replaced Flip Gordon. Flip. That
thank the gods almighty that happened. I'm
like,
say.
Can you imagine the level upgrade there? Run Naruto instead of fucking Flip
because
Gordon.
The whole Visa thing, by the way. I don't know if you said this, but Flip knows that the Visa problems are only happening with people coming to work in America, right? You shouldn't have any Visa problems if you're from America and trying to wrestle another country.
I think the Flip Gordon problem.
I think he just fucking forgot to submit his paperwork. Like he just thought, well, everybody else is having visa problems. They'll understand. It's like, no, like, buddy, they're having trouble wrestling in America from other countries. You shouldn't have any visa issues coming from America to wrestle in Japan.
Yeah, I mean, Japan,
unless the immigration decide to give him an idiot task and roll, what shape is the earth? And he wrote, well, flat over this plate. Get him the fuck out of this place. Or something like other than that, like, I don't understand. How could he have visa issues? I'm thinking he just forgot to submit it.
I they did.
Or wrote his birth date wrong.
Or did
something stupid and they just said, don't let this fucker in the country.
Or they were like, they read all of his tweets about where he said he couldn't find chicken in Japan. Which, by the way, Japan has...
Was he in the sewers? Where was he?
There's
chicken everywhere!
They love chicken more than like any
was
other...
Was he also going to tweet, you know, they didn't have anything at all? Fish. I see any fish in Japan. Or beer. Or like... How about chicken? Chicken's everywhere in Japan. They fucking love chicken.
It was a really, really tough mission.
Like, there's shit you can't find in Japan, but not chicken.
But yeah, so maybe they read those tweets and like, yeah, banned.
And he also said, I couldn't find any vending machines anywhere. I looked. No convenience stores anywhere. They also don't like trains.
That probably makes a sound on the podcast.
But what an idiot.
So, at Lawson Comedy 89.
Whatever you did to get out of this tournament, do it again next year. Because... Narita is a lot better, buddy.
Okay, so the questions. At Lawson County A9, is Dustin Rhodes the best 50-year-old wrestler in North America? I don't even know who his competition would be.
Well, how old is PCO?
Is he 49?
If he is, then I guess it's...
think Dustin Rhodes
Yuji Nagata is not American.
No, he said North America?
Yeah, he said North America.
Yeah.
So Yuji Nagata doesn't count.
No.
He's Japanese, so... I guess. Yeah, I guess. I mean, PCO, how old is he?
PCO's 51.
Yeah.
I like.
He's
I
the
think
only
Dustin's
other one,
like,
I guess,
yeah,
that's
I think
really
that's...
good. But...
I mean, no, not going to vote for Undertaker.
No. Fuck no. And, you know, well, he's not 50 yet, but he's looking over. But R-Truth is still really solid, despite being like 47.
Okay. @blue_RayMysterio. After his showing at the buy-in, is Orange Cassidy a great wrestler or the greatest wrestler?
Why wasn't he wrestling on the show? Was there a reason? I love Orange Cassidy. I mean...
That's Fire Ant.
He reminds me a lot of Fire Ant, who was great. Did Fire Ant train him?
Yeah.
Okay. But I always thought he was awesome. Why didn't he wrestle on the show? Was there
That's
a reason?
That's his whole gimmick.
That he doesn't wrestle?
He was in the Battle Royal.
Was he when?
He like, came in with his hands in his pockets and did nothing.
Okay. But he wasn't an official participant.
No, he was.
But they said there was only 21 people.
He was in the Battle Royal, buddy.
But when he came out, they said this. Well, he's not in the. He's not officially in the Battle Royal.
I have no idea.
I could have sworn the announcer said he didn't do anything. Whatever.
That's his whole gimmick now. He doesn't do anything.
Okay.
So @GUI_Japan Overlords, in order to make the partnership with ROH go away.
No, I think that. First of all, I think it wouldn't really make storyline sense for Kenny to wrestle Hangman because they're friends.
And you know? I don't think Kenny should be first champion anyway.
No. And I'm not even sure Jericho will be. Hangman might win it.
Yeah.
I think that's just... I think... Well, first of all, I think if they were trying to serve anybody there, it's Jericho, not New Japan.
So let's...
He'd probably
ask about
the fight for the world title.
No. Let's back up. I think you have the timeline wrong. Mm-hmm. They announced Jericho Omega months ago.
Mm-hmm.
I think Jericho then went to New Japan, and New Japan was like, we want you to do this Dominion match. You know, what else you got going on? He's like, well, I have this match with Omega, but I'm going to beat him.
Hmm.
So I think Jericho already knew he was beating Omega when he went and they negotiated the Dominion match, and New Japan was like, oh, perfect. Well, you're going to come in with a win then.
Yeah, I don't think...
But I do
trying to make New Japan happy went into thinking...
I do think that. They still want that
they
New Japan
do. But...
So, I don't know. We'll see. But I don't think that was the first... I don't think that was the first thought.
No.
@GRR4136. Am I the only one who thinks that Hikaru Shida was looked like the worst person in her match? I wasn't too familiar with all the girls except Aja, but my feeling after the match was they signed the wrong girl if they had to only choose one. Well, technically,
all the girls were great.
No. Well, technically, Riho is also signed, but she's signed on a short-term deal. Mm-hmm. She just wants to see if she likes it, basically. If she doesn't like America, she'll go back. No, Hikaru Shida, look, she's awesome. I mean, I've seen her have so many incredible matches in Japan. But, like, the Hikaru Shida, like, in that match, you know, she really didn't get to do a lot, so I totally understand why this guy had that, you know, takeaway.
Mm-hmm.
I just think maybe they were just saving her because they know she's going to be a big focus going forward. But yeah, she really didn't do a lot in that match, so I don't really blame you for having that opinion. But trust me, she's really fucking good. At RBX2000, who's the better Chinese wrestler, Shima or Ho-Ho Lun?
Nah, Shima, but he's not Chinese.
At Travis Zick, who should Kenny bring in next to the Joshi matches, and should they have a separate Joshi division from the women's division? I don't know about you. I don't think you need to keep them completely separate, but
no.
I would definitely have the Joshi wrestle each other more than anything. But,
yeah.
I mean, you do plenty of matches with American women in Joshi companies.
Yeah.
So, who should you bring in next? I mean, there's a million people you could bring in.
For Joshi?
Yeah. I mean, like, if you were going into... I mean, I would really love to see Arisa Nakajima. I mean, she's fucking amazing, and, you know, not that Seedling's the biggest company or anything, so they could ever work that out. I mean, Anai from Seedling would be awesome. If they could get Asuka, not the one in WWE, but the one from Pro Wrestling Wave,
mm-hmm.
that would be awesome. I'm trying to think of some other... I mean, there's a million. I mean, just Google almost any company, and you'll come up with a whole bunch. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe bring in... If you brought in Aja Kong, maybe bring in, like, more old school Joshi, bring in like Mayumi Ozaki. Remember, she's the one Police.
Oh yeah, with
bring
Police,
her,
yeah.
Bring her
yeah.
and Police in.
Yeah,
let them,
is
like,
Police
go.
Still around?
He's still around.
Okay,
bring the two of them in. At Rules Goldberg, it appears they're positioning Shida as the top Joshi. Will AEW push her as equal to the other women, or will Joshi be a separate entity? I don't know. We don't know the answer. I think they will eventually like merge the two, sort of, but like. Maybe still keep them partially separate, but who knows? I mean, it feels like the Joshi division is Kenny's baby more than
mm-hmm.
anything. So, and then he said, follow up, what should AEW do to help the non-English speakers get over and connect with Western audiences? WWE doesn't seem to bother anything other than learn English, which isn't usually the most prudent or reasonable request. I mean, I would do interviews with subtitles.
Yeah.
That's right. I mean, look.
TNA does that.
TNA does that?
I heard they do subtitles, yeah.
I mean, I would just let them fucking cut a promo, get a fucking translator.
English, yeah.
Get a translator. Even if you have to do a live translation, that's a little more awkward. But you can do like a backstage promo. You're telling me there's no fucking. This one I never understood with WWE. You're a giant fucking company. Just go hire a Japanese to English translator and put some subtitles on the screen. What's the big deal? I mean, the subtitled New Japan promos look great, right?
Yeah, I think so.
So I would do that's what I would do. I would have Hikaru Shida and all of them cutting backstage promos and just put like subtitles over it.
Yeah,
that would be awesome. At King Slipazoid, who do you think stood out in the six woman tag match the most to casual audiences and to yourselves? A lot of questions about the Joshis. That's cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Who stood out most to casual audiences?
The timekeeper.
I would bet you the answer is probably Aja Kong, because you've heard that name so many times, probably. And JR really, like, put her over. It's like, he was like, I am personally excited to be calling an Aja Kong match.
I would love to see Aja Kong live.
So I'm sure that really, like, stood out to fans that he pointed that out. Who stood out most to me? I think it was definitely Ryu Mizunami. I mean, she was, like, such a powerhouse, and they're just fucking laying everybody out. That was awesome.
I remember one time Aja Kong did come to the area, but all my friends didn't care about wrestling, so...
Mm-hmm.
Hope.
At W in Hell, do you think American wrestling needs casual non-death blood?
I think it's a lot better. I think it'd be better, but not every match, but every once in a while in a real feud, like in a Hell in a Cell or something, I think it will help, but WWE doesn't do it anymore. And even if it does happen by accident, half the time they want to, like, stop the match and like, heal it or whatever, or, like, which is stupid when that happens. But... I mean, I think blood can work once in a while. I don't think you need it all the time, but
I think it's
it helps tell a story sometimes.
At Enric's Keeper,
don't you think the biggest, the best, arguably the best WrestleMania match of all time, the blood helped that Austin Bret Hart. Can you imagine that match without Austin bleeding? I think it wouldn't be, the visuals and everything wouldn't be half as. I think it'd lose steam. It wouldn't be as good.
I think it's important for American wrestling.
It can happen in certain matches.
Yeah.
It helps.
You don't need to do it all the time. No. And I think TNA at some point got carried away with it, but
definitely.
I think once in a while it does help.
It does help.
At Enric's Keeper, last question. Finally, New Japan one here. What do you think the G1 lineup will be, considering no Kenny, Tama, Page? He also missed Elgin. Mm-hmm. So we know at least four people are going to be out this year.
Why is Tama out?
Tama said he's out, basically.
Oh.
So he said he's not going to be in. He took a booking in Washington. So you say he's focusing on tag team wrestling. That's good news to my book.
Sure, yeah.
So we take out Kenny Omega, Tama Tonga.
Are we sure Kenny Omega's not going to be in it?
Yes, he's not going to be in it. Kenny Omega, Tama Tonga, Hangman Page, and Michael Elgin are
Michael
all out.
Elgin.
So that's a huge amount of turnover.
That's four people.
That's exciting to me. Like, you get real new blood in this thing. So let's go over the people I think are locks to be in. Taichi's a lock. Whatever you might not like it, he's a fucking lock. Mm. I think Will Ospreay's close to lock.
Pretty much, yeah.
After that, you're talking to other people.
Well, Kojima hasn't retired from it. Yeah, last year he was injured. He probably would have been in. Do you think Kojima will be back?
Could be.
I feel like they have to give him his, like, year where he says this is his last year. They can't just say, well, he's done now.
Well,
they might give him his last G1 year.
He wasn't always in WWE, or in New Japan, I mean. Because he went to All Japan all that time. All
right, I guess we'll see.
There's somebody else that I'm not thinking of that I thought was a lock. Who the fuck is it?
Do you think Jeff Cobb will be in?
No, because I think he'll be... I mean, he's very possible because he was never champion, but he's getting pushed really heavily in Ring of Honor, and they have a lot of big shows during the G1.
Whoever's challenging Juice, do you think they're a lock?
Okay, so they probably are a lock. Time's Up Man,
whoever
I think
is
probably
but
a lock.
I thought it was Oka, but why would Juice, like, know who Oka is?
Yeah, Juice started talking about today how he knows
Well,
him.
I guess they were Young Lions around the same time, kind of, were they? I'm trying to remember, because Juice was, like, basically a Young Lion for a while.
Yeah.
When he first came in. Was that when Oka was a Young Lion? Or did...
No.
Okay, so then I don't understand. But if it's not Oka, then who the fuck is it?
I feel like... Is there somebody else I'm forgetting?
Who's British that we're forgetting? Because... Unless that whole, the picture of the British, you know, the flag and everything is
Could
just...
Could be David Finlay. Could be Davey Boy Smith. They re-debuted.
Yes, it could be David Finlay.
Okay, can we go back a sec? Am I forgetting somebody else obvious? Because I feel like I am.
I think you are too, but it's hard to remember when all the heavyweights have been off for a while.
Yeah.
Yujiro Takahashi, is that who you're forgetting?
No.
Who else? Has anyone joined Bullet Club recently besides El Fantasma?
No.
Who
Jay White was in it last year.
Yeah, Bushi was in it last year.
Bushi was in it last year.
Somebody like screaming at their fucking phone right now.
Shingo ain't going heavyweight yet.
Yeah, I think they're a little jumping the gun on that on commentary. But I feel like I'm forgetting someone obvious. Tai Chi is very obvious. Osprey to me is obvious.
Suzuki, obviously.
Well, yeah, but who? I'm talking about who could be new.
I'm just thinking of random roster members in my head.
I can't think of anybody else who's brand new. I mean, I hope Mikey Nichols isn't going to be in it because he hasn't been very impressive. But he's a new heavyweight.
Chase Owens?
You could put Chase Owens. I don't think these are the obvious people I was thinking of, though.
Brett is gone.
Maybe there is one spot that's like could be anybody, I guess. Maybe that's
it. Well, let's think of who's in the New Japan Cup.
Yeah. Three out of four spots I think are obvious. Tai Chi, Ospreay, Time's Up Man.
Yeah.
So fourth guy could be... I mean, Roosh teased it on Twitter.
Yeah, Roosh teased it.
Roosh would be awesome.
I think it could be Kojima.
Could be Kojima.
If he's... it could be...
Could be Chase. Could be Nichols.
Chase. Could be Nichols.
Yeah.
Hangman's gone.
Hangman's gone.
Well,
anyway, so let's get...
Can I look at my phone and look at the New Japan roster? Can you look it up? This is killing me. I feel like you're forgetting someone, too.
Yeah. Okay. The one guy I want to mention too, his other question was who's going to win it, which I can answer in half a second. Yeah, no shit. It's going to be Tetsuya Naito.
Last time you said that, you were wrong, buddy.
Okay, well, I'm looking at the roster to see if there's anybody else obvious that's new. I mean, I guess you could put Colt Cabana in there. He was in the New Japan.
I was thinking Colt Cabana too, but yeah. I'm not sure. Sonata and Evil obviously was to be back.
Yeah, there's nobody else. It doesn't look like there's anybody else obvious that's new. So I think that's maybe the three spots I was thinking of that seem obvious to me are like Tai Chi, Ospreay, and whoever the Time's Up guy is. So.
Yeah, unless Sipu Leo gets in.
Yeah. What's his name? Hanare.
I hope to God not.
Wait, I think you're a little too hard on Toru Hanare. All right, so we can wrap it up there. Folks, thank you as always for listening. Quinlan, do you want to plug your Twitter? Do you want me to plug your Twitter for you?
Sure.
It's @I'm_not_Quinlan. Did you ever tell that joke on Twitter? Did you ever tell that story on Twitter podcast?
I think I have.
Where you like, we were playing Super Smash Brothers, and I wasn't playing.
This is like in high school.
So you're playing.
And this is the original Super Smash Brothers on N64.
So you're playing Super Smash Brothers, and you're playing as Samus.
No, I was playing as Donkey Kong.
You're playing as Donkey Kong.
And someone asked, "Who's Samus?" And someone else said, "I think Quinlan's Samus." I yelled out, "I'm not Quinlan."
Then you got like really indignantly.
I did a lot. It's like, "Who's Samus?" "I think Quinlan's Samus." "I'm not Quinlan." I screamed out, and then we all just started laughing. And I was like, "No, I mean I'm not Samus."
I'm not Quinlan.
Yeah, like very like, "How dare you call me that?" Like,
it's a good story.
Yeah.
But yes, so that is the story behind that Twitter handle. Folks, you can follow me on Twitter with a long hat Twitter-like name that I never plug, so I'm not going to plug it here. But you should follow me on Twitter for my Japan pictures, so I will plug it finally. @TOSHANSHUINLA. So if you want to follow me on Twitter, there you go. You can also just find it linked in the Omakase one. But I'm going to have plenty of pictures of Japan. So I'll be a worthwhile follow for exactly 2 weeks, then you can unfollow me. And the podcast Twitter handle is @WrestleOmakase. Wrestling does not fit. So
yeah.
Up next will be episode number 100. First of all,
live from Japan.
First of all, can you believe that this fucking podcast made it to 100 episodes?
Further along than your hockey one did.
And can you believe that I somehow timed this in a way so the 100th episode takes place in Japan? Isn't that perfect?
Yeah. Well, you did that on purpose, huh?
I kind of did. I don't know. I could have had it be 101 if I had, not skipped a week. But I only had to skip a week because I did 2 in 1 week. So I didn't really do it on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
But it worked out really well. So up next, Wrestling Omakase number 100. We'll be off for a few days, a little bit later than usual. So not next weekend, but probably, the following Wednesday. So until then, until I talk to you from Japan, folks, we'll see you next time.
In a world of 1 million wrestling podcasts, there is a new shining star with great interviews, analysis, music, and me, Matt Kuhn, on Total Engagement. Go to any podcast platform to listen today.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.